Today's reading is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together.
Our Heavenly Father, we pray that as we sit under your word now, you would so speak to us that we would walk with you in your light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In the 20th century, Pastor Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote this: every institution tends to produce its opposite. Every institution tends to produce its opposite. He continued, it's no use assuming that because a thing has started correctly, it's going to continue to be correct. Well, next weekend we're 25 plus one, or as normal people call it, 26. We're an institution. And so it's a good moment for us at LEC to pause, to have a little look in the mirror, and to think, well, what are we producing? It's the result of all that we say and do together, a church, a fellowship that pleases God, or have we started to produce the opposite? And this passage here in 1 John 1 is a great mirror to hold up to ourselves. It's a great way of taking stock. John describes two different paths that a church can take. Both paths are a reality to who God is, a response to the reality of who God is, Both paths respond to verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So there are two ways to respond to that John outlines. One of them creates a group dynamic and community that is wrapped in darkness and in deceit. The other path creates a group dynamic and community, a fellowship that shines like the midday sun. And so here's an opportunity for us to say, which path are we on? Not just as a church family, but also as individuals, which path do we want to walk on in the future? So here's path one, walking in the darkness. Verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Walking in the dark isn't fun. Just think of those nighttime trips to the toilet. Think of shins and sharp furniture. Think of door edge and nose. It's never happened to you, really? Well, walking in the dark is even worse spiritually. John says that walking in the dark brings deception and dishonor. Let's look at deception first. The deception begins in verse 6 with lying, deceiving others. The type of deceit that comes when we pretend to be all in with Jesus, but actually we've got something secret, some secret sin that we're pursuing and treasuring. And the way John unfolds this is he teaches us that because sin is addictive, regularly lying to others means that we start lying to ourselves. So verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In other words, it's possible to get so used to wearing a mask in front of other people that you forget it's fake. You lose yourself in your own performance. It's possible to even pride yourself on self-knowledge, think you know who you are through and through. But actually, the self you know is just a mask. We deceive ourselves. And John says this type of deceit, this deception, comes from how we think about sin. In verse 6, it comes from thinking that we can be God's friends in the light while we walk in the darkness. In verse 8, it comes from denying that we have sin, that is, a sinful nature. In verse 10, this deception comes from denying that we commit sinful acts. And so John's teaching us that to the extent that you and I play down our sin, we don't know ourselves. We're not who we think we are. Real and true self-knowledge comes to the extent that we realize that we are creatures who rebel against our Creator. To the extent that we realize that we're sinners, and to that extent only do we have true self-knowledge. Without that knowledge, we will deceive ourselves. Con ourselves. We won't understand who we truly are. And that can happen not just to individuals, that can happen to whole groups of people, even to entire churches. It is possible for a church to be so self-deceived, so walking in the darkness, so self-deceived, that what they clap and celebrate and commemorate disgusts and offends the Lord Jesus. Here's a rather crass example. Take this photo, for example. A KKK gathering in the early 20th century in America, in a church building, under the banner, Jesus Saves. A group of people claiming to have fellowship with Jesus, and yet they're walking in the darkness. They're self-deceived. And to think, well, that's so extreme. Something like that could never happen to us at LEC. Well, that is just to deny that we have the same sinful nature as they did. Walking in the darkness, this path of deceit, begins with thinking that there are parts of me that I don't need Jesus for. Parts of my life I can get together on my own. And it grows into then thinking, well, there are people over there who need Jesus more than I do. They're the really messed up ones. They're the really sinful ones. I don't need Jesus as much as they do. And so at this point, it would be easy, I guess, to say, well, friends, the application is beware of churches that make light of sin. If you leave LEC and move to a different church, don't go to a church that downplays sin. But actually, I think the real application is that you and I are to beware of our own tendency to downplay sin. You ever noticed how other people's sin is so often inexcusable, but there's always an excuse for your own? Give sin half a chance and it will deceive us. So walking in the darkness, one way of responding to God is deception. And that also brings with it dishonor. Dishonor. On the surface, dishonoring God is simply disobeying him. God has made himself known as our Creator. He has the right to tell us how to live. But verse 6, we do not practice the truth. And so disobedience dishonors God because it says to God, you're not worth obeying. But John takes us deeper into what's going on. This type of dishonoring isn't just disobeying. It's a disobeying that makes claims about who God is and who we are. Look at verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So every time I claim not to be a sinner, to be somehow better than that, I'm claiming that God is wrong. And I'm claiming that God is wrong not because God is misinformed, according to John in verse 10. I'm claiming that God is a liar. That what God says about our sinful nature isn't true. And when you think about it, claiming that God is a liar, well, that takes you back to the garden, doesn't it? The Garden of Eden. That's exactly what the serpent was saying to Adam and Eve. And so this dishonoring is not just disobedience, it's the type of disobedience that then will say brazenly about God, he's a liar, he can't be trusted. How dishonouring to God when the people who claim fellowship with him make him out to be a liar through their lives. And note in verses 6 and 8 and 10, this darkness, this walking in the darkness comes as we live by our own inner light. We trust our own best ideas about ourselves. Verses 6 and 8 and 10 begin with, if we say. We've swapped God's words for our words. And this sinful self-understanding then leads to self-absolution, self-proclaimed forgiveness. There's always an excuse for our behaviour. And what is then going on is nothing less than we're climbing onto God's throne and saying, actually, we'll be judged, thank you very much. We'll decide who's sinful and who isn't. So that's one path. Walking in the darkness, walking in deception and dishonouring. And verse 6 says that it's possible to be part of a gospel-preaching church and walk in the darkness. All you need to do in verse 6 is say the right thing and then do what you want. But there is another path, a better path for us to walk on. And that's path 2, walking in the light. And walking in the light begins with practicing the truth. And you see that there in verses 6 and 7. If walking in the darkness means not doing the truth, not practicing the truth, then walking in the light, by implication, must mean doing the truth, practicing the truth. The truth in 1 John is the word of life, verse 1. The word of life, verse 1, which then in the next verse was with the Father and was made manifest, was revealed to the apostles, and which they proclaimed to the church, verses 3 and 4. It's the Father's word about Jesus, his Son, all of God's promises and all of God's commandments. And John's saying here, listen, everything God says, he says to be obeyed. And everything God says about his Son is light for us to live by. Because God's words reflect who he is. God is light, verse 5, and therefore his words are light. They give light to us. And so when we come to the Bible, we're not coming to some dark and confusing book. We're coming to something that is bursting with light. Light which illuminates who we are, our thinking and our feeling and our acting and our doing. God's word is spoken to us for us to do. God's word about his Son helps us obey his Son so that we walk with him in the light. And it's really interesting noticing here then that for John, the mark of a church walking in the light isn't that they are Bible hearers. It's that they're Bible doers, people who practice the truth. And so that's the first mark of walking in the light, practicing the truth. And just like disobedience leads to deception, so practicing the truth, God's truth, leads us to confessing the truth. It's the second mark of walking in the light, confessing the truth. Last night, Sinead and I were doing some pre-marriage counselling with a couple via Zoom, and one of the things we said was that actually the biggest danger to a marriage is keeping secrets. Keeping secrets and not owning up to what's going on. And we said that sometimes that can be very hard to tell each other what's going on because so often we fear judgment. And I suspect, well, I know that that's not just true of marriages, that's true for us as a church family, isn't it? It can be so easy to hide in the darkness because we fear judgment. What will other people say and think? What will God say and think? And yet John tells us some wonderful news here. What happens if you and I own up instead of covering up? Well, look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John isn't talking about confessing to a priest. He's talking about us confessing to God. And he's saying this, listen, if you admit to God what is most true about you, God isn't going to rub your nose in it. He won't shame you for it. He won't look at you in disgust and then walk away. He washes us clean. He cleanses us. Domestos, that brand of detergent, proudly claimed to be able to get rid of 99.9% of all known germs. Well, because our self-knowledge is limited and flawed, you and I only ever confess just a small portion of our sins. There are more germs, spiritually speaking, in our life than we know about. So what about that huge percentage of our sin and of our spiritual germs that we're not aware of? Well, look again at verse 9. God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. John's saying, listen, you and I are stained and defiled in ways that we do not see and we do not understand. But God doesn't cleanse us according to how good our confession is. He cleanses us according to how good and how perfect his Son is. Verse 7, the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not just from some sin. Not just from most sins. Not just from the sins that you and I find it easy to put behind us. Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sins. The unspeakable ones, the unmentionable ones, the ones that plague us in the middle of the night, the ones that we cannot bear to forgive ourselves for, whatever is most horrific in our own past. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And Jesus can do that because he lived a perfect, unstained life. Because he died in our place, bearing our sin, our defilement before God. And because he did that, his shed blood now washes everyone clean who will come to him and confess their sins and their need of him. Friends, because our autopilot, because of our sinful nature, our autopilot is always to cover up, to hide, to conceal. Which means that many of us have got sins that we're trying to bury. And it's just not working. Trying to deny or downplay or somehow just move past or to shift the blame on. And you know it isn't working. It'll never work. We all need to come back to the reality of verse 7. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, the most amazing thing happens when you confess your sins to God. When you say to God, your word about me is true, that I am a sinner and I need Jesus, then God's word about Jesus, his perfect Son, becomes his word about you. Spotless, perfect, clean. So there's the second path. Walking in the light, practicing the truth, confessing the truth. Where do you think we're at LEC? Where are you at? Walking in the darkness, unknown and alone, or taking that harder path of walking in the light but being known and loved and washed clean? Whichever path we take, the destination will become more and more imprinted upon us. Whichever path you walk on, where you're going will begin to shape you more and more. And what does it look like if we're walking in the light together? It looks like a family, because that's our destination, to be God's family together. You see that there in verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Not the fellowship of office colleagues or of commilitonen at the university, the fellowship of family. Because through Jesus' death, God ends the isolation of walking in the darkness. And he brings us together so that through his Holy Spirit, you and I can begin to experience Jesus' sonship with the Father together. Supernatural family life as you and I make our way through this crazy world. And if you look around you at LEC, I would suggest that is what, by God's grace, we see. It's what we enjoy in part. Proof that God has kept us walking in the light over the years by his grace. And it's what we look forward to more of, isn't it? More family life, deeper fellowship, not settling for the status quo. And so just for these last 5-10 minutes, imagine with me what it will look like as we keep walking in the light together. What type of family life will it be? Well, I suggest it'll be a truthful family. Imagine your life as a house. You know, red brick walls, well, whatever colour walls you want actually, but big brick walls, big strong roof, and in that house, you're isolated from God and from others. And we think that the house keeps us safe, but actually that house keeps us separated, because no one can come near. And then through the gospel, when we turn to Jesus in faith, what does God do? Well, God takes the roof off of the house. He removes the barrier between him and us. But God doesn't stop there. He also starts dismantling the walls, the barrier that is between us and other people. And so as we practice the truth and as we confess the truth, as we confess our sins together, we're admitting that all of us have got more in common than meets the eye. Our outward circumstances look different. I guess most of you look different to the people sitting next to you. But we all have sin, verse 8. We've all sinned, verse 10. We've got a shared identity in that. We're not alone. And even if my sins look different to your sins, well, we've all got a sinful nature, verse 6. Sinful nature inherited from Adam, our first father. That means all of us are in the same boat. All of us are in the same boat, which means we don't need to rebuild the walls of our lives to impress other people, or to protect ourselves from one another, or to hide what's really going on. No one has anything to hide in a church family that's living in the light of the gospel, because we already know the worst about each other. We already know that we have a sinful nature. We already know that actually inside we're worse than we look on the outside. And therefore walking in the light isn't about pretending we never sin, it's just confessing that we do sin. If, like me, you have a superhero ability, a particular type of superhero ability, which is to spill ketchup on your clothes every time you come within 3 meters of a ketchup bottle, you might know the worry that comes as you look at a stain on a piece of clothing and ask, is that going to come out in the wash? Well, what unites us as a church family is that we all have stains that come out in the wash as Jesus' blood cleanses us from all our sin. And so our family life, our growing together as God's family, depends on us practicing and confessing the truth of the gospel together, that we are sinners who've been washed clean. At the moment we stop living in the light of that gospel, then we'll start rebuilding the walls and isolating ourselves from one another. But if we live in the light of the gospel, practicing and confessing the truth, well, then we can live together. And then genuine honesty and openness becomes possible and desirable and real. And maybe that type of truthful family life for you might begin with finding someone this afternoon and asking for a quiet word and just telling them where you've been walking in the darkness and how you need help. Or maybe it begins by telling someone actually that the biggest challenges in your life aren't what's going on outside, but actually how your heart's responding to it inside. Truthful family, walking in the light together. Secondly, as we press forward walking in the light, we will grow to be more and more of a loving family. Our goal at LEC isn't just to be nice to one another. Jesus didn't die and rise again and put his Holy Spirit in us so that we would just be nice. Leipzig can do nice. The Church of Jesus Christ can do more than nice. Our goal is to love each other as Jesus loves us. And we learn to do that as we walk in the light because we begin to receive God's heart for one another, and for our hearts to be transformed and changed to feel like God does about us. And we learn to sympathise and empathise with one another because we know from ourselves just how easy it is to drift back into the darkness, and therefore when we see brothers and sisters doing it, we don't think, gosh, how on earth could they do that? How rotten and sinful. We think, gosh, I can understand that. And this family love means growing in our welcome of others. Welcoming others like Christ has welcomed us. Not putting up barriers for people to climb over so they can belong, but opening our arms out and saying, listen, anyone can belong at LEC. It's so easy to belong. All you have to do is admit that you really need Jesus. It's as simple as that. LEC is open for anyone who will say, I need Jesus. Which I guess means that as we learn to love each other more, we learn to encourage repentance. We expect that it's going to be normal for us as a church family to be turning back from the darkness towards the light again and to keep on doing that, because that's just the normal Christian life, isn't it? And so we want to make it as easy as possible for each of us to keep walking back into the light and to celebrate it every time somebody does that. Because repentance isn't a mark of shame, it's a mark of the Holy Spirit working in us. This type of loving fellowship, of caring for one another, requires time, requires commitment, requires getting to know one another. And it requires patience, which is the third and final mark. A patient family. If none of us were sinners, then patience wouldn't be required. And because we're all sinners, patience is necessary. We're all prone to retreat back into the darkness. We're all tempted to start rebuilding the walls and making ourselves look respectable again to the people next to us. And yet John is saying that our sin and our self-righteousness doesn't have to be the end of our fellowship. It doesn't have to be the end of our family life. Because Jesus' blood washes us clean of all unrighteousness, we can give each other time. We can be patient. Just like it takes time to learn a language, it takes time for us to learn who we are in Christ. It takes time for us to learn what it means to be family together. To walk in the light doesn't come overnight. To learn that we were actually wrong about how good God is. He isn't a liar. And we were wrong about ourselves. And so the type of fellowship that the gospel creates as we walk in the light together is patient. It's patient because we're not trying to manipulate one another into quick fixes. It's patient because we all need change. It's patient because the change we need is God's work. And it's patient because the change we need is actually a lifelong work. And it's patient because the Holy Spirit is in us, working in us, applying Jesus' blood to our lives. And therefore, we don't have any reason to write anyone off. And that type of patience then means forgiveness, doesn't it? It means persevering in prayer. It means refusing to back off and retreat when things get nasty or people lash out. It means committing ourselves. Confident that Jesus is enough for all we are as a family. Well, what do you get as you put all of that lot together? You get gospel, safety, and time. I nicked that phrase from an American pastor, but I think it's great. Gospel, safety, and time. That's the type of fellowship that we enjoy here at LEC, and that by God's grace we want to grow in. A family grounded in the gospel, and therefore a safe place for us to admit that we need Jesus. And a place where we're not rushed, but where we let the Spirit lead us step by step into wholeness in Christ together. Friends, let's walk in the light as he is in the light. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, it is amazing that you who are light and in whom there is no darkness, that you would choose to give your Son for us and to wash us clean and to make us your family. and to give us fellowship with one another and with you. Gracious God, we do confess that we are so prone to walking in the darkness and so prone to self-deception and dishonouring you. By your Holy Spirit, would you help us to confess our sins and to walk in the light together? And we pray this so that we would grow more and more into the family you would have us be, and so that your name would be honoured both here in Leipzig and to the ends of the earth. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.